Good morning. You guys sounded great backstage. I am so excited to be delivering the message today. My name is David Quaid, and I'm one of the pastors here. We're gonna get to the message in just a minute, but first, I brought a video I would like to show you. Let's go ahead and play that video now. Our mission here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix is transforming ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. And when I watch videos like that, I am reminded of God's faithfulness working through the Vineyard to transform lives. And when you give to what God is doing here, you give to things like this. You give to transform lives. And it's not just in this church service today, not within these walls, not just within our campus, but in our community, and even around the world. And so thank you to those of you who give faithfully and sacrificially to what God is doing. It really does make a difference. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we welcome you here in this place. Lord, we know that you're already here, that your Spirit is working. And so, Lord, we just pray for more of your presence right now. Would you soften our hearts to your words today, Father? Would you make it good soil for your truth to be planted and watered? Heavenly Father, I pray over whatever is given financially through the church. Lord, I pray that you multiply it for your kingdom, Lord, that you give us wisdom and how to spend it, how you would like the money to be spent on building your kingdom and transforming lives. And Father, I pray for myself as teacher. As we read from your word today, Lord, would you just speak through me? Would I just be a vessel to your mouth today? We welcome your presence here, and we love you, and we thank you for today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, a quick poll. How many of you would say that you honestly believe in the power of prayer? Go ahead and raise your hand. Look at that. That's pretty good right there. Now, second question. How many of you, even though you believe in the power of prayer, most of us rose our hand in the air, would say that you could pray with a greater faith? How many? Who could pray with a greater faith in here? It's okay. Me too. My hand's up. Pastor Brian's hand's up in the back, by the way. So why is it that we, as followers of Christ, have an access to God? We know that he hears our prayers. We know that he is moved by our faith. Yet, if we're honest, sometimes our prayer life can be inconsistent. It can feel a little bit stale. Why is that? Well, I don't know exactly, but I do have a theory, a couple of ideas. I think we really either don't believe in the power of our prayers, like maybe someone else should be doing it, or maybe it's that we simply become bored because our prayers are just too safe. Many of us around the room, we often pray prayers like, God, bless this food. God, help me to have a good day at work. God, keep me safe. Keep my family safe. Keep my kids safe. God, help me get this promotion. God, help me with this, give me this good parking spot. And maybe the one that most of us are praying this morning, God, please let the Phoenix Suns win it all this year. If you're anything, it sounds like there's a lot of us here that are praying that prayer today. Now, please hear me. These are not bad prayers. I pray these prayers. We all pray these prayers. But just know that these are safe prayers. These are prayers that benefit us much, but they cost us very little. They provide us with a feeling of safety, but they do very little to grow our faith. Now, we know that God hears these prayers. We know that God cares about these prayers, both big and small. But again, remember, these aren't bad, but they are safe. And we know that as followers of Christ, we know that there's more to it than just only safe prayers. Because here's the thing, letter A in your outline. Followers of Jesus don't pray it safe. They don't pray it safe. In John 17, Jesus is praying over all the believers, including us. And in this prayer, you know what he prayed for? He prayed that in God's name, we would be sent, that God's name would be known, that we'd be sent to the ends of the earth to share the good news of Jesus. He prayed for the unity of believers, of his church, that we'd be of one heart and one mind. And he prayed for God to be glorified with everything we do and say, that we would bring honor to each other, and in doing so, we'd bring honor to God. You know what Jesus didn't pray for, interestingly enough? Jesus did not pray for us to be safe, because Jesus never wanted us to just pray it safe. And so today, we're going to look at a dangerous prayer, a prayer that can grow our faith. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4 today for most of the message, so you can turn there now in your Bibles or on your smartphone if you'd like. And while you're doing that, I'll give you some context for what we're about to read. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascended to heaven so that the promised Holy Spirit could fall upon the apostles and empower them to do the things that Jesus did on earth, to continue his work. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles of Jesus, the promised Holy Spirit, and Peter gave the best sermon ever. Scripture says that 3,000 people came to Jesus that day. That day, the church was born. And that day is known as Pentecost. That's how we remember it today. In chapter 3 of Acts, sometime after that day, Peter and John, apostles of Jesus, they're walking into the temple to worship. And they come across a man who has not walked in 40 years, for most of his life, if not all of his life. He has not walked. And what they do is they pray for this man. And this man is instantly healed. He stands to his feet. He is healed that day, and he celebrates this miracle. And that's awesome. But there's a problem. The powers that be, the Sadducees, the temple guard, and the chief priests, they were concerned about this healing. They were concerned about both the validity of the healing, was it truly a miracle? And they were also concerned by the source of power that Peter and John claimed. And so, they arrested Peter and John, and they kept them in jail overnight to be questioned about this miracle in the morning. And that's where we pick up chapter 4, verse 7, where Peter and John stand before the Sanhedrin. Acts 4, verse 7. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Did you heal this man? Here's Peter's response in verse 8, starting in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this," right? He's got him leaning in. you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And so Peter is standing before this powerful religious council, this powerful entity at the time, and he said, look, he just says it how it is. You guys killed Jesus, make no mistake, but God raised him back. And it's in the name of the man that you killed that this man stands before you today. You see, Peter's just saying it how it is. He's calling him out in the process, but he's just saying it how it is. And this is how the Sanhedrin responds in verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. Some translations say amazed, or they were taken aback. And they took note of these men. They had been with Jesus. Now, this verse kind of makes me chuckle a little bit because this word that is used in the NIV, this word ordinary in the Greek, it's the word idiotes. Idiotes. Does it sound like a word you may have heard before? Does it sound like a person you may know? Don't? No, eyes. No, we look, eyes up here, everybody. Idiotes can be translated as ordinary, as unschooled, or you guessed it, idiot. And so the perception of this religious council was that these ordinary, unschooled men were these idiotes. They were idiotes, but they were amazed, absolutely amazed at what they were saying, the authority that they had, the boldness that they had. They were amazed that these ordinary people were doing an extraordinary thing because they underestimated an extraordinary God working through ordinary people. Now, even though the Sanhedrin was amazed, they also knew that they had a growing problem on their hands. They had a crowd of witnesses that witnessed this miracle, that heard about this miracle. They knew the man, and they saw him healed. And they had Peter and John telling them the truth, and all the people the truth, of how and who healed this man. And so the Sanhedrin had a mounting problem on their hands, and they didn't know exactly what to do. But they did know one thing. They knew that they couldn't let Peter and John talk about Jesus anymore. And so they commanded them to stop telling people this truth. And the scripture says that they threatened them with many threats, and then they let them go for now because they didn't know what to do with them. And in this moment right here, Peter and John had a decision to make about what they should do next. Should they play it safe? Should they just kind of lay low for a while, you know, till the heat settles down? Should they wait for the political climate to change a little bit? Should they avoid stepping on any toes, ruffling any feathers, and maybe just, you know, hunker down and focus on what they can control? Or should they do something completely courageous? Well, let's look at what they do, starting in verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, the believers, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. If you're following along, underline that word, boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Amen. The prayer of these ordinary people, ordinary just like you and like me, their response to these threats was not to, Lord, keep us safe. That was not their response to these threats. Instead, they prayed a prayer that empowered them in a mighty way. Even if it wasn't safe, even if it wasn't the smart thing to do or the comfortable thing to do, simply these believers prayed, Lord, make me bold. Lord, make me bold. Make us bold. And when we say, Lord, make me bold, and we really mean it, we are no longer praying it safe. When we say, Lord, make me bold, we're stepping into who God is truly calling us to be. Because of Jesus, we can all be bold wherever God is calling us. Biblical boldness may not be giving a message from a stage. It may not be leading someone to Christ. It might be. But in your context, maybe today in this season of life, maybe boldness is simply sharing your faith. Maybe it's simply the boldness to lead your family in a Christ-like way. Maybe it's the boldness to be countercultural wherever you work or at school or even at home. Maybe it's the boldness to just stand for truth or the right thing when no one else will. Maybe it's the boldness to just ask the very simple but strong question of, can I pray for you right now? Maybe it's the boldness to give generously with whatever God has given to you. Maybe it's the boldness to invite someone to come to church with you. Or maybe join a small group. Finally commit to joining a small group. Maybe it's that kind of boldness in this season. Whatever it is, whatever God is calling us to do with boldness, this is the good news, and this is important. Don't forget this. As followers of Christ, when we pray, Lord, make me bold, in Christ, we have everything we need to be bold. You know, a couple years ago, I remember praying a prayer just like this. I said, Lord, would you help me to be bold? Would you just use me for your kingdom? Would you just show me your goodness and your power? And would you just use me whatever the cost? Lord, make me bold. And wouldn't you know it, I got an opportunity just a couple days later. I'm on a plane from Columbus, Ohio, back to Phoenix, Arizona. Now, I know I'm a pastor. I know I'm supposed to be a people person, and I usually am. But on a plane, I don't really like talking to people. I feel like I'm buckled in, and if I start a conversation, I'm talking to them for the entire ride. And so, this plane ride was no different. Had the old headphones in, listened to some worship music, because I'm a pastor, all right? Listen to some worship music. The plane loads up, and I notice there's this woman sitting next to me. And it doesn't take me long to notice that this woman is not doing well. Out of my peripheral vision, I can see that she's really struggling, that she's physically upset, that she's shaking, that she's taking really deep breaths, that she's very erratic. I can just tell she's really struggling to just keep it all together, and the plane has not even taken off yet. And at that moment, I saw what was happening. I'm perfectly aware that this lady is not having a fun time. And I began to have a little, let's call it a discussion with God, because he knows my deal. I don't talk to people on planes. He knows. And I said, God, not here. You know, not on this plane, not now. I mean, you know, you made the earth. You know that this flight takes like 3 hours. And all the what ifs continued to flood in mind. All the reasons why I should not address the situation right here. What if this woman, I just talked to her and she makes a scene? What if she screams at me? What if I don't know what to say? What if I do pray for her and absolutely nothing happens? What if? What if? What if? And in the midst of my doubt, in the midst of my what if, I was reminded of my simple prayer. Lord, make me bold. And so, seeing the opportunity, I remove the headphones from my ears, and I look over at this lady, and I say, Miss, are you okay? And in that moment, the floodgates opened, and her head dropped into her hands, and through sobbing, she said, my son is missing. And immediately, I knew I was there. Excuse me. Many of us are fathers in this room. We're parents. Can you imagine being on an airplane with a bunch of strangers with fear that your son is gone, maybe forever, and not knowing what to do with that fear? As a father, I can only imagine the horror that she felt in that moment. And so, we had a discussion. We went on, and she said that her son was in his early 20s, or is in his early 20s. He's living in Southern California, and no one had seen him in weeks. Not his roommates, not his work. He's not answering his phone. They're not even sure he has his phone. Nobody has seen him or heard from him. And I wish I could tell you that in that moment, I had the answer to her problem. Oh, yeah, your son's here. I know where he is. Well, I mean, don't text him. But I couldn't do that. I didn't have many answers for her. She didn't have too many questions, but I certainly didn't have a whole lot of answers. But I asked some questions. I asked her about her situation. I asked her about her son. But maybe the most important question I asked her the entire plane ride was, can I pray for you right now? And so, we prayed on that plane. With all the people listening, I know they can hear me pray. And in that moment, I really didn't know what to pray for, but I knew there were a couple things that I needed to pray for. I needed to pray for her son. I needed to pray for her. I needed to pray for God to break through in her situation and to speak to her, to become real to her in this situation. I needed to pray for a miracle. I needed to pray that they would be reunited together again. And I wish when we got off that plane, I wish I could tell you what happened after that plane ride together. I wish I would have got a message from her maybe, or a note or an email. We didn't exchange contact information. But I have no idea what happened with this woman and her son after we got off the plane that day. But here's what I do know. I prayed the prayer, Lord, make me bold. And God gave me an opportunity to be bold. And the rest is up to God. When we pray, Lord, make me bold, our job is to be faithful when the opportunity arises to be bold. And we let God deal with the rest. We let God deal with what God does. We cannot let a certain outcome, worry about a certain outcome, keep us from being faithful with an opportunity that God gives us, because we don't know, you don't know, and I don't know what God will do with just a very simple act of faith. Let's get back to our story in Acts, carrying on. So Peter and John and the believers, they prayed for boldness in chapter 4. We read that. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking the word of God boldly. And so God had equipped them. He had empowered them, and in chapter 5, we get a little glimpse of what we can expect when we pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold. In chapter 5, the apostles were continuing to preach boldly. God was continuing to add to their numbers. They were taking every opportunity, and what happened next really isn't very surprising to me. The apostles and the believers faced persecution. And this isn't surprising because, letter A, boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. When we step out, it often triggers a spiritual opposition. Look at verse 18 in chapter 5. They arrested the apostles and they put them in a public jail. And so the apostles, the believers, they are living boldly for Jesus. They're taking every opportunity, and what do they get? Arrested again. And over again in the Bible, when we look at the life of Jesus, or we look at the life of his apostles, we see that when people step out, when people are bold in the name of Jesus, they often face opposition. You know, I've seen this in my own life. My wife and I, we just kind of have an understanding that whenever I'm preaching, whenever I'm preparing for a message up here, or whenever we have a youth camp coming up, or we have some kind of major event where we know that God is going to transform lives, it feels almost like clockwork. That one of our kids gets sick, that we have some kind of emergency popped up. Maybe we have an emotional weight or a spiritual heaviness that we feel throughout the week. We've just learned that when we step out in faith, that target on our back, it grows, because we know that boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. At this point in our life, we've been doing this a little while, we figured out that when we face spiritual opposition, it's actually probably a sign that we're doing something right, not doing something wrong. And so as we pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold in your life, don't be surprised if it triggers spiritual opposition. But also, don't be afraid. And that leads to our next point. The next thing that happens when we pray, Lord, make me bold, is boldness often releases God's miracles. And so Peter and John, they're back in jail. They're facing opposition. But God has a left hook, doesn't he? Verse 19, I love how matter-of-fact this is. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. So yes, we may face some spiritual opposition, but don't forget a very important fact, that God is on our side, that God is with us when we move in boldness, and nothing can stand in the way of what God is going to do. And so when we pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold, when we're guided by the Holy Spirit, remember this. Be equipped with this. Be empowered with this. Go in boldness with this. Remember that the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the grave, the same Holy Spirit that spoke through Peter at Pentecost, and the same Holy Spirit that guided Peter when he spoke against the Sanhedrin, the same Holy Spirit, the same one, is in you and in me. And so as you're living your life of boldness, don't be surprised when that same Holy Spirit brings on a miracle through your small act of faith. Don't be surprised if you see someone get healed. Don't be surprised if you see someone who's brokenhearted be comforted. Don't be surprised if you see someone lost become found. And don't be surprised if you see the impossible become possible. Because boldness that comes from God often releases his miracles. The last thing we'll look at today is boldness always requires faith. When we ask for boldness, know that our boldness comes from a place of confidence in ourselves. Boldness in this sense comes from a confidence in God, and that is faith. And so the angel releases Peter and John from prison. He tells them to do something now that requires faith. Look at verse 20. The angel says this, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. And so at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple. And as they were told, and immediately began teaching. If you're keeping score, if you're keeping track, notice that the angel told them to do something that had already got them arrested twice. And so something tells me that Peter and John, even though they are idiotes, knew that something might happen if they do the same thing again. But notice what they did. They did it anyway. Not because it made sense, not because it was easy, not because it was safe, but because God was calling them to do it. God was calling them into who he wanted them to become. And here's the truth. The gap between who we are right now and the person that God is calling us to be is continually closed by our act of obedience brought on by faith. We move towards God and everything he is calling us to be by taking steps of faith. And God grows our faith not by making us comfortable, but by taking us out of our comfort so that we must rely on him, so that we must use faith. Our boldness always, boldness in this sense, always requires our faith. And so if we're to pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold. Maybe you feel like, you know what, this is not your thing. Maybe you're like, you know, I'm just not really like that. Know that God may be calling you into something new. He may be growing you into the person he wants you to be. Because boldness in the biblical sense, this is not a personality trait. Boldness in the biblical sense is the power of God working through us. Boldness that comes from God empowers us to do things that we wouldn't normally, ordinarily do, that we can't do or we won't do. It requires our faith. And the more faith something takes, the more boldness required to do the thing that God is calling us to do. Know that that's probably a sign that God is calling you in an amazing way to do things for his kingdom. He is calling you into who he wants you to be. And so, church, be bold. Know that you're going to face opposition when you pray this dangerous prayer. But when you pray, don't be surprised if you see God's miracles as you live by faith. Now, I want to finish today with a little bit of a challenge, a dare. You know what? A double dog dare. Yeah. Now that you know I'm serious, I jumped a dare. Here's the dare. Here's the challenge. I brought some gifts for you today, completely free, one time only. No, anytime, actually. We had some cards made up. They look like this. They are in the baskets in the tunnels on your way out if you're on our campus. We also created some phone backgrounds, which I downloaded on my phone. You can find this on our app under the This Week tab or on our website under the same tab. And the challenge is that you take a card or you download the wallpaper or you do both. And you stick this card somewhere where you're going to see it every day. Maybe multiple times a day. Hopefully multiple times a day. Maybe you stick it on the dashboard of your car, maybe the mirror in your bathroom. Perhaps you tape it to your coffee maker if you're a regular coffee drinker like I am. Wherever you're going to see it, and whenever you see this card, whenever you see this wallpaper on your phone, if you want to be bold, if you want to pray a dangerous prayer, you take a moment and you just say simply, Lord, make me bold. Lord, make me bold. And the challenge is that you do this for 1 week. I hope you do it longer, but do it for at least a week. Give it a week. I'm confident that God will give you opportunity upon opportunity to be bold if you just open your eyes to the possibility that God really does want to use you. When we pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold. Remember that in Christ we have everything we need through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. It's not something we do, it's something God does through us. When we pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold, we must simply be faithful with the opportunities that God provides, and we let him worry about the rest. When we pray, Lord, make me bold, it may trigger some spiritual opposition, but you might see a miracle, and it will absolutely grow your faith. Would you stand with me if you're able? Can I have the ministry team please come to the front? I'd like to remind you on your way out to grab one of those cards. They're in those wicker baskets in the tunnels. Please take more than one. You're welcome to that if you'd like. Wherever you need to put them in order to be obedient, in order to pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold. I really want to encourage you to do that this week. As I was preparing for this message, I kept getting this picture, and maybe it's just the color of my above ground pool, but I kept getting this picture of stagnant green water. But maybe that was the Lord. But I really did feel like he was talking to some of us. That maybe you've been a believer for a long time, and you've been faithful. You pray, you read your Bible, you come to church. But maybe God is calling you to do something bold. And maybe you know what that is, maybe you don't. But I would like to encourage you. I think this is from the Lord, that you pray this prayer, Lord, make me bold. And watch the stagnant water become running streams of life again. Watch the dead come alive. God may be calling you to something new, a new season, but it's a season of clarity and of power through the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you with that. And if that's you, we would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. Maybe you just struggle with boldness. Maybe you're a new follower of Christ and you're like, I don't know anything. Well, we have some Christian brothers and sisters up here who would love to pray for you, encourage you. Pray for God to produce opportunities and fruit in your life. The Bible says that where the Holy Spirit is, we will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. It's promised by Jesus. And so if that's you, if you'd like to come up front, if you'd like prayer for anything else, even if it's not about today, again, there's a team up here that would absolutely love to pray for you and encourage you with whatever you need. We believe that God heals today. He heals physically, emotionally, relationally. And maybe you need that. And so I'd ask that you just be bold if you need to and step out for prayer today. Hey, if you're a first-time guest, we'd love to meet with you in the information center right outside in the foyer out here. There's some pastors and leaders that can give you some information and answer any questions you may have about the Vineyard. Let's be bold this week. Let's be bold. Lord, make me bold. Let's pray this as a church. I can't wait to hear the stories that come back from this simple prayer because the Holy Spirit is with us and he wants to empower us. Look for those opportunities to be bold this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And God, we thank you so much for your presence here. And Lord, we just thank you for using us for your kingdom. Help us to see the opportunities ahead. Help us to be equipped and empowered by your Holy Spirit. To not fear the enemy, but to know that you've already triumphed over him. Help us to be bold this week, Lord. Make Vineyard North Phoenix bold for your kingdom. We pray. Empower us as we go. I pray for all my friends' hearts here. I pray for their weeks, Lord, that they would step out in faith at the opportunities you give them. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, guys. Have a great week.